You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
That it is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Have you missed me? Because I have missed you. We've had a lot of basketball, a lot of hockey on the last couple of weeks. But tonight, it's you and it's me at 800-919-3776. Load up the lines. Also on Twitter at Chris Carlin. By all means, check out the video stream. That is available at ESPN New York 98.7's Twitter feed and also on ESPN New York's Facebook page, my YouTube page as well, Carlin on ESPN. So the Jets now, after the Carson Wentz trade, are in a position where, to me, there is virtually no need to trade Sam Darnold. Why is that? Well, it's the case for a few reasons, and let's detail them. Number one is who lies in front of them at the NFL draft. And that's the most important issue at the moment. Exactly who are the Jets looking at in the draft and believing in and thinking can be their guy when it comes to a quarterback in the future? Do they believe in Justin Fields? Do they believe in Zach Wilson? Do they believe in Trey Lance enough to draft them with the second overall pick? And to me, I think that's a jury that is going to be very much out for a while. I know that we have heard so much lately about how the Jets need to absolutely trade Darnold and get everything they can for him. Well, if you don't have the answer at quarterback, why would you do that? I am going to operate under the assumption for a moment that you don't have the opportunity to get Deshaun Watson. I'm putting that aside. I'm going to look at who is draftable, where I am at number two, the fact that I'm probably not going to be able to pry Trevor Lawrence away from the Jacksonville Jaguars in a trade if I was trying to get up to number one. And I'm going to say that if my other options at quarterback are not worthy of the number two pick, then why on earth would I trade away Sam Darnold? And this is me saying it. I don't necessarily believe at all that Sam is the answer for the future. I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying that if you're in a position where you don't believe in the guys that are coming out, you take a pass. You take a pass and you let somebody else be the sucker to trade up to the number two pick. And you don't forget the most important thing about the New York Jets right now. And that, quite simply, is they are not talented. Please give me five players on the current Jets roster that have to stay for the future. You can't. Go ahead. You can look up the depth chart while we're talking here. You can't. They don't have enough talent. And they're not in a position to really be giving up the opportunity to bring in a lot more of it if you don't believe in who the quarterback is going to be. So why trade Sam? You going to trade Sam and then not draft a quarterback? Because it says to me that if you're trading Sam away, you love Zach Wilson, most likely. Or you love Justin Fields. Most likely it's Wilson, though. Because, you know, you're hearing these stupid, and I'm going to use that word, stupid takes from some people that Wilson is actually better than Trevor Lawrence. That's dumb. Go look at who Zach Wilson played against this year. He didn't play against anybody. And I called one of his games. I called the bowl game against Central Florida, the Boca Raton Bowl, and I was impressed as heck. I mean, the kid can make every throw, but that was against a bad, bad defensive team. Why am I believing in him to be the guy of the future? Why am I believing in Fields? I liked Justin Fields a lot midseason. I thought it might have been a 1-1A situation. And then later in the year, didn't play as great. Played hurt, showed toughness. I think he's got a chance. Do I think that he's worth the number two pick right now? No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't believe that whatsoever. So, having said all of that, there are a few things to consider. First of all, the teams that are going to be interested in Darnold and why. The Carson Wentz trade was bad for the New York Jets. Make no mistake. Bad. Why? Because the Indianapolis Colts were the team that was most likely to be the most desperate if Wentz ended up with the Bears or someplace else. The Colts wanted Wentz in the worst way because of Frank Reich believing in him, because of their relationship, which was the biggest key to their run together in 2017 before he got hurt. And they would have been left at the altar without much of an opportunity to turn to a true given winner. And Darnold would have been their best opportunity at that point. And to them, considering that they would have had 2 years of control of him if they wanted, they might have given up the 21st overall pick for him. The Jets might have ended up with 5 first-round picks in the next 2 years. But that's not going to happen now. I don't think the Bears are giving up the 20th pick to get Sam Darnold. And I know that if they're going to talk about a second-round pick, okay, the only way you're doing this is if you're drafting somebody. I don't really get the feeling that that's the case. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've talked to anybody there because I haven't. I haven't talked to anybody with the Jets about it at all. I just think when you hear people talk about a guy rocketing up the draft board, we've seen that too many times before, and it's based on things that really are not all that important. You got to ride with Sam if that's the case. And you got to find a sucker. You got to find somebody who's going to load you up with picks and or a player who's going to help you. In the short and the long term, if you can get somebody in the top 10 to move up because they love Zach Wilson and they think he is the next great thing, next to Trevor Lawrence, fleece them. Fleece them for everything they're worth. Milk them. You got to milk them dry. You take everything you can get. There is not enough talent on this roster. Yes, there's cap room. Yes, there's already draft picks. Take more. Take more. Have a young roster. Have a young, talented roster. Draft the right way. And let Sam play this season. Do not force it on a quarterback if you don't believe it. It's a mistake if you do that. The Wentz deal decreased the value on Sam. It did. It's not what the return was. It was who the most interested parties would have been and where you would have gotten the most bang for your buck. And I don't think you're getting that right now from anybody else who's really all that interested. I don't think you are. Wentz at one point with that coach, you got to remember, as his offensive coordinator, was an MVP in the league leading up to that season, or leading up to when he got hurt. He was the MVP of the league. And the Eagles got the return that they did, which was actually decent considering the situation, because they're taking a $33 million cap hit by trading him away right now. The Colts really don't get destroyed by the cap number. I think for me, that killed the Jets. The Colts would have been the perfect spot. And now, if you're the Bears, are you willing to give up the 20th pick? No. All I can tell you, folks, is you better be right about the next guy if you think that the next guy exists in this draft. You love Zach Wilson? I get it. At the moment, I'm not sold on any of the three. And I've talked to some people about these three guys. People who would know about these three guys. People have coached among these three guys. I'm not sure on any of them. I'm not. 800-919-3776. You got to keep Sam. You got to keep Sam and play him this season. Is he the answer? No. But for all of you who've been screaming for years about how Sam has had nothing around him, step up right now. Let's hear from you. Step up. You've been screaming and yelling. Well, it's you know what cutting time. Do you want him here or not? Let's go. 800-919-3776. Live stream is new on YouTube at Carlin on ESPN. Carlin on ESPN over on YouTube. We, of course, are with you throughout the course of the next few hours. I welcome your comments. I welcome your tweets. I welcome your phone calls, and we have open lines for them next. We will get to why Brett Gardner is back. Let's do it. Let's roll. Let's get to it. Lines are open. And we begin with Marvin in the Bronx on this Friday evening. Hello, Marvin.
Look, who's here, CC? I thought What's I was the on? One that was retired. I can't catch up with you.
It has felt like retirement, and if that's what this is, I'm not ready for
this
it.
Out. I'm going to give you an example, then I'm going to lead into what I want to say tonight. All right. Bart Starr was a 17th round draft pick when they had those rounds back in the day. And Vince Lombardi came along and he turned him into a Hall of Famer. For some gut reason, when I think about Sam, I think about Adam Gates. Adam Gates is the impediment to this guy's development. You know, I when I saw the guy in the interview, I said, this is not the guy to coach this team. I think Sam has the talent, and I think with the right coach, and I think the guy they hired might be the right guy. And I'm not even a Jet fan. I'm just a guy outside looking in. But I just got a feeling you stay with Sam and you give him the pieces. Like Bill Russell said, if you don't have the horses, you ain't going to win.
Yeah, listen. We know that it's about the players. And, yes, quarterback is the most important position. But really look at the roster. Are there more than three to four guys that you would say I have to have here for the future?
No, that's the argument I'm presenting. You have to get talent around this kid and see what he can do. I mean, if you trade – look, Chris, if you trade him and he goes off and becomes an all-star on another team and takes him to the Super Bowl and you're still left in the dungeon over there in East Rutherford, all right, this is going to haunt you. I go back to the 80s. I was a big Dan Marino fan when he was in college. And when the day they didn't draft him, I turned around and said to a Jet fan, that's a draft pick that's going to haunt you for the next 10 years.
Well, it was longer than 10 years, Marvin. It was longer.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm going to say this, Chris. I love talking to you. I'm very proud of you, and I look forward to having lunch with you one day.
Marvin, hopefully soon. Hopefully somebody can have lunch with somebody soon. Thanks for the call, brother. I appreciate it as always. Look, I just feel like right now, if you're in a position that the Jets are in, and it's kind of an in-between, and there doesn't seem to – you don't get the feeling that they have their guy locked in this draft coming up, then why would you ever trade away Sam? Why would you really do that? I just don't think that you would. How about John on the car phone next, 98.7 ESPN. John, what's going on, man?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Good. I agree with you that you know, beyond Trevor Lawrence, you know, the next pick's a quarterback, your replacement is not there. But I do not think that Sam is the guy, because the issue with Sam in college at that level was turnovers. And he had the weapons there at that level. So that's the one thing you don't correct in the NFL. I don't think he was a good pick to begin with. And I think he showed that from the first pass he threw in the NFL.
But I mean, I think that's unfair, because he played much better later in the year. He really did. He played much better that first year.
But he still had a ton of turnovers. You're not going to correct that. How are you going to correct that? He turns it over a lot.
Yeah, I think the problem that everybody is going to point to is that Sam is trying too hard to try to make something happen when he doesn't have people to try to make something happen with. And
is he doing that in college?
He had weapons in college. You're right that that's an excellent point on your part.
He turned it over at a record level.
He did, and you know, I think guys looked at him and thought, he's 20 years old. We're going to be able to, you know, be able to mold him into a better quarterback. And I have seen Sam regress here. But here's my point. Do you believe in any of the three that are coming out besides Trevor Lawrence and operating under the assumption that you can't get Watson?
No.
And why are you letting Sam go for that? Why would you force it for that?
No, you're not. You're not. I agree with you there. You keep him and you wait to see what you can do later on. Now, you know, comparing him to a Daniel Jones is a little bit younger, not enough time. But Daniel Jones is turning it over because he's dropping the ball. He's holding it too long. That you can correct. Throwing the ball to the other team, not seeing the read, you can't correct, especially when he did it on a record level in college. I don't know what they were thinking then. I really don't think he was the highest that he didn't deserve the draft pick he got then.
Well, you know, people believed in him. That was the problem. And thanks for the call.
I know.
So if they believed in him, they thought they saw something. I've watched Wilson truly in one game. I'm being honest. One game. They didn't play anybody else this year. You look at what happened with the BYU schedule, and they got completely thrown off by COVID, and they were making it up as they went along, and they would have played a lot of teams that were at least better, and they ended up not. And, you know, they put together the Coastal Carolina game when they could. Games like that. So I don't know what to make of somebody like Zach Wilson right now. When it comes to Justin Fields, I like him a lot. I really do. I think he's got a great toughness about him. I think he can be a very good quarterback in the league. I'm not as high on him as I was maybe in the middle of the season. I do know he can make an awful lot of good throws. And he can make them on the run, and he can make them in difficult situations where it's thrown across your body. Let me give you one little tidbit, though, that I picked up this week. Little tidbit. From people in the know, Trey Lance, who I have not seen take one snap, not one, just being 100% honest. But I did talk to somebody very familiar with Trey Lance this week and familiar with his career and, you know, watched him quite a bit and was around him quite a bit. And here's what I got out of it. This is a guy that is going to be similar to Sam in that he's only going to be 20 years old. And while he has an immense amount of talent, and you look at all the throws that he made and all that kind of stuff, and you also want to talk about competition, it is 1AA, but you can make that point. He did everything that he could, but he really only started 1 year. This is Trey Lance's resume, right? Redshirt. He redshirted his freshman year. He started his second year, his redshirt freshman year, all year, had a terrific season. And then he played one game. The team played one game this year, his redshirt sophomore year. So he has barely over a year in starting experience in college. He is not ready to play at least until his second year in the league, at least. And then you're going to go through growing pains. So let's just argue for a moment. We all know that Lance is the third of the three behind Lawrence, behind Fields, and then behind Wilson. If you think Lance might be the guy down the road, maybe if you're the Jets, you could take him at the 23rd pick. And then you could keep Sam and continue to play him this year and figure out what you have from there. You have a guy that has started plenty of games, and if you think Lance is the guy, maybe you do that, and you don't plan on playing him anytime soon. It's so much harder to do that in the league now than it used to be. I'm not even saying that's the answer. But a couple of the notes I got on Trey Lance this week, just to give you an idea. First of all, take a look at the North Dakota State quarterbacks the last few years getting into the league. Think about that. Carson Wentz, then Easton Stick, who is the backup, what, in San Diego? Or Los Angeles, wherever he is. So another North Dakota State quarterback, 1AA, is the backup, gets into the league, and now they have another potential first-round pick in Trey Lance. So that has to tell you that he's been coached pretty well. They've had the same quarterback coach out there for 6, 7, 8 years. His name's escaping me right now, but he coached Wentz, he coached Easton Stick, and now he coached Trey Lance. Lance is a guy that is extremely smart. This is what I'm told, okay? He's somebody that would actually, you know, when the coaches put together film, he was smart enough that he would go and put together film on his own. He would put together his own film cut-ups, as they call them. A remarkable amount of composure and exceptionally smart. He is capable. You'll look at his numbers and you'll think, well, he can run the ball a ton too. Maybe not necessarily. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not going to be that guy. But they ran at North Dakota State a lot of play action like they run in the league right now. RPOs and play action. And this is certainly somebody that can extend the play. This is just insight I got from people around him, people with no dog in the game, so to speak, who really liked him and gave me a couple of the negatives there and didn't think that this is somebody that's going to walk into the league and play right away. But if they did want to draft a quarterback and they were going to look at him, I'm not going to tell you that they should. I haven't seen him play a down. I haven't even gone to YouTube for the highlights yet. But this is just some of the insight I got this week on Trey Lance. Just because we don't know anything about him, we know more about the other two. So if that's the case, and you're looking at somebody that may be able to sit for a year or two and then play, makes bringing Sam back make a little bit more sense. I have come across one of the most disgusting things I have ever seen. And this is me saying it. Arby's. The Meat Mountain Sandwich. The Meat Mountain Sandwich. The biggest sandwich Arby's has ever sold. Stacked ridiculously high with almost all the meats. 2 chicken tenders, slices of roast turkey, pit smoked ham, corned beef, 13 hours smoked brisket, USDA choice Angus steak, roast beef, and pepper bacon.
Is there also,
quote, cheddar and Swiss cheese somewhere in there. Oof. Oof. Ah. I right now hope Arby's isn't a sponsor, but I don't know. Listen, I'm an ambitious individual. I'll take my chances. I'll roll the dice. I'll go after it. I don't know that I could ever do that. Like Man versus Food, that old show, I would have absolutely gotten involved in some of those. There was actually, and this wasn't from the great outdoors, there was actually a place in 1992. It was, 19 years old? Driving across the country with my friend Michael Bosland, and my brother Dan was moving out west to Santa Cruz, California. So we were driving a Penske truck across the country, and we drove through Amarillo, Texas. And I kid you not, not stealing this from the great outdoors, this actually happened. There was a 72-ounce steak. 72-ounce steak. 4.5-pound steak that was free if you could eat it in under an hour. And that was in Amarillo, Texas. Did I do it? I did not. Do I regret it? To this day. 800-919-3776. Oof. I looked at that and I got completely thrown off by where my train of thought was. You know, if the Yankees believe that the postseason is a crapshoot, they continue to bet the pass line. It's what they're doing. And what I'm talking about here is this, and I've been sitting on this one for a little bit of time because I haven't had the shows to do, but you know, I heard this a few times and read about this a few times the last couple of weeks. The Yankee PR machine is out in full effect in this way. They believe in their process of putting together teams. Okay. As you need to. And they feel like at this point, it's more about the process of putting those teams together than what's going to happen later on. Because whatever happens in the postseason can just be a complete crapshoot. So it's just one big roll of the dice and you hope for it to go your way. And that's probably why it hasn't happened for them since 2009. You know, every couple of years there seems to be something as to why it hasn't happened. So now it's the crapshoot. Well, why? Why is it that now all of a sudden? The Dodgers were the best team. The teams that we saw this past year, the two best teams in baseball, the Rays and the Dodgers, played for the World Championship. They had the best records in each league, and they played in the World Series. Is that a crapshoot? No, that's not a crapshoot. So why is it now the process becomes all the more important for the Yankees than the results? And it's just, we have a great team to get us through the regular season, and then we'll see what happens in the postseason, and good Lord willing, things will work out. You'll start throwing all those cliches up against the wall. I don't care to hear about that. I really don't. When you hear about the idea that you have put together this team and you have spent all this money and you've done all these things and you really have just put the same team back on the field from last year. And ironically, the one place where I definitely would have brought outside of LeMahieu one guy back in place of what they did was with Tanaka. I would have brought Tanaka back over Corey Kluber. You know why? I know Tanaka's going to go out there and pitch. I don't know that about Corey Kluber. Brian Cashman admitted today he doesn't expect the ace Corey Kluber. He's 35 years old. He hasn't pitched in 2 years. Jameson Taillon's coming off a big injury. Hey, these things could work out. Hopefully these things work out. Hopefully these guys can stay healthy. Does this sound familiar? It sounds like the higher dollar value, higher risk version of what the Mets have done over the last several years. The Mets would do it in a cheaper way. The Mets would bring in a Michael Wacha, right? on nothing. And they would expect to be able to get a lot out of him, to be able to get blood from a stone. Well, I feel like that's the case for the Yankees right now, except that they do it on the higher end, that they hand Corey Kluber $11 million, that they go and make the deal for Jameson Taillon and hope that he's going to be able to come back and regain some real good form in the middle of the rotation. A lot of hope for one guy who hasn't pitched in 2 years, another guy who's pitched in, what, a year or so? I mean, it's tough to take when you're the New York Yankees, and these are the things that we're talking about. I mean, Jameson Taillon hasn't pitched since 2019. And you're just banking on him being healthy, banking on guys being healthy. You know who's the Yankee who's got the most pressure on him this year? Eric Cressy, the strength and conditioning coach, who's got Stanton and Judge doing yoga. Namaste, fellas. Get it right. Stretch it out. I heard all about the yoga a couple of weeks ago. They do a great job of taking care of getting some positive narratives out there about why things are going to be different, as opposed to actually making things different. When things don't work in winning a championship, which is always supposed to be the goal, you make changes, don't you? You try to improve, you try to get better. They brought back DJ LeMahieu. That's what they were supposed to do. You also put it in a position where you bring back Brett Gardner. Ooh, okay. You bring in Corey Kluber. Like, you're not getting better. And there's so much about the payroll tax and getting it reset. And we're not asking you to go 40 and 50 million over, but don't make it a crapshoot, as you described the postseason. Don't make it a crapshoot behind what you've got in Gerrit Cole. Don't do that. And that's what they've done. They have just employed a more expensive strategy of what the Mets have done for the last few years. Bring in somebody and hope to catch that old magic. Stop it. 800-919-3776. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. You know, the Yankees, you can talk about the crapshoot all you want. Do you think the Yankees are better this year? I don't. I don't think the Yankees are better this year. I think they are excitingly at that same level of a year ago. And I think you're going to see a lot of the same things. I think you're going to see injuries. I think you're going to see LeMahieu tear the cover off the ball and be great. I think you're going to see Gerrit Cole be very, very good to great. And then I think there's going to be a whole lot of question marks beyond them. They are throwing a lot of arms at the wall, hoping and praying that somebody can get it done. But I don't look at the Yankees and say the Yankees are better. And I understand what it says, win 94 and a half games, all that stuff. Winning championships is supposed to be what it's about. Do you honestly believe the Yankees are winning a championship this year? 800-919-3776. On Twitter, at Chris Carlin, the responses on the Jets. Some on the Yankees as well. J-Rock on Sam Darnold. It may happen if no Watson. In other words, if the Jets don't get Deshaun Watson, maybe, just maybe, they'll be keeping Sam Darnold. I think either way right now, I'm moving further away from an optimistic standpoint that the Jets are going to get Watson. You don't get any real sense of any momentum. And I would want to hear more. You hear little whispers from the Watson camp here and there, right? The Texans want to trade him to the Jets. That's clear. When you hear our buddy John McClain say that the Texans want the ability to draft the second best quarterback in this draft, that means they want the number two overall pick. Okay? So they want to move him to the Jets. So what is going to keep him from being a New York Jet? Well, it's going to be that he doesn't want to be because he has the no trade clause. I said in two words, you got to keep Sam on Twitter. Two more words from William Joseph. Hell no. Let's see. Who else we got? RXMeister55. It's a pharmacist. Respect. Gotcha, brother. You work in New York, Chris. You would think part of the job would involve watching Jet games. Followed up by David Barrett was not good on Twitter. Responding to that tweet, his job constitutes eating potato chips. Actually, I'm a multitasker. I can do both at the same time, and I often do. I watch the Jets, and I eat at the same time. Lots of heavily salted snack chips. Oh, it's been a while, my friends. There he is. Richard in Manhattan.
Chris, this is Brett Gardner's, I think, 14th year with the Yankees.
It's his 94th season with the Yankees.
All right. Let's say it's his 14th year.
Okay.
I will make this declaration. He is the only Yankee in their history, their 120-year history, who has played 14 or more years with the Yankees and never once, not once, made an All-Star team.
Well, actually, that's not true.
Well, who do you think else?
No, he made an All-Star team.
Oh, he did make an All-Star team.
In 2015, Gardner made
an All-Star team. Oh, he did? Oh, so there goes my theory. Outdoing. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Okay.
All right. Chris, Rutgers, Seton Hall, St. John's, and UConn. Which of the four do you think makes the NCAA tournament?
Let's see. I think Rutgers and Seton Hall, definitely. I am optimistic on St. John's, and I'm middle of the road on UConn. I think... I got to look at UConn's resume right now. I have not seen a lot of UConn. I would go the first three almost. I think St. John's has got a really good chance to be there. Yeah.
Okay. Chris, if I give you Baylor, Gonzaga, and Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay, the top three seeds in the country in NCAA.
Yeah.
And I took the field, the other 65 teams in the tournament. Would you make that bet with me?
I would take those three teams. I would.
You would take those three over the 65?
I would. I absolutely would.
You think it's that
I think Gonzaga is the best team in the country.
And I think it's pretty close second.
Yeah. I think Michigan's an excellent team, too. I think Michigan's an excellent team, too. I don't think Michigan played all that great last night, either. And they still won that game by 7.
You know, Chris, I was thinking, as dominant a basketball player as Abdul-Jabbar was, his first years, first 10 years, well, his first year was Lou Alcindor, the next 9 years. So consider his first 10 years in the NBA. And he was dominant from the first time he stepped on the court. I mean, I don't remember any rookie being as dominant and just continue to dominate like he did. Anyway, his first 10 years, guess how many championships he won?
Abdul-Jabbar?
Yep.
None, right, in the first 10?
No, one. He won one with Milwaukee. One with Oscar Robertson.
Oh, with the Big O. Okay.
Right. In 10 years.
That's
and
amazing.
He had some pretty good, he was Batman, and he had some pretty good. He had Bobby Dandridge. He had Lucius Allen, Oscar Robertson, Jamal Wilkes, Norm Nixon. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of interesting. It didn't happen with him until Magic Johnson came.
Yeah, I don't find it all that interesting, but thanks for the call.
10 years?
I really don't. Not all that interesting. No. He's a great, great, great player, and he won his championships later on. But it just proves that you need a lot more around you, and he had Oscar Robertson. And he had, you know, a couple of the other guys, but they obviously didn't have enough to get it done. And later on, you know, because I'm such a student of the game, knowing those Milwaukee teams as well as I do, that obviously they just didn't have it. Listen, I date back as far as the Showtime Lakers, okay? That's my early childhood, just, I guess you'd call wheelhouse as far as the NBA is concerned. That's really when I got into it. And ultimately, Abdul-Jabbar that I saw was still a dominant, dominant player with L.A. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. You know, I have to tell you, I am thoroughly annoyed with the Met fans at the moment for a couple of different reasons. You know, when you look at where they've come from in the last few months, all the just remarkably dumb off-the-field stuff aside, and how much better of a team they are today than they were at the end of last year, you talk about genuine improvement. The Mets have genuinely improved from a season ago. They have added a very, very good catcher. Not the number one guy, but a very good catcher. They have added Francisco Lindor. They have added depth to their rotation. They are a better, deeper team all the way around. But the Met fan just went from 0 to 100 in the span of 2 seconds. It was like the day that Steve Cohen took over. You guys all decided that you deserved all of the very best right away. And I get it. There are so many fan bases that can scream and yell about all the pain that they've dealt with. And I get it. I get it. I get it. But these fans that look at this offseason because you didn't get Real Muto, because you didn't get Springer, because you didn't get Trevor Bauer, that it was just a complete waste. I mean, no, it wasn't. The Mets are legit. The Taiwan Walker signing as true depth in the rotation. I look at the Mets right now. They should win the division. I know that the Braves are excellent. To me, the Mets are the best team in the National League East. They are. Yet a lot of the Met fans right now just aren't happy that they didn't get every little toy under the Christmas tree. It's wild to me how you would think this way. You should be absolutely thrilled that you have been able to see an owner come in and really keep his word on a lot of things. Did they spend like a drunken sailor? No. Did they spend to make the team a whole lot better? Absolutely they did. Absolutely they did. Are they perfect? No. But they're a hell of a lot closer than they were. You guys got to lighten up. I mean, honestly, get a clue about this stuff. If you're mad about what happened this offseason with the Mets, you just don't get it. You really don't. You wanted all the shiny things right away. That's fine. These things, they take time. Yes, he is a fan with money. So do you automatically assume that a guy who has earned $14 billion in his life is going to just start throwing it all over the place without at least trying to make some good decisions? I mean, for Pete's sake, they tried on Bauer, and they actually offered $2 million more, and they didn't get him. You can't blame them for that. It would have been a mistake to pay him all that money, but you can't blame them for that. They obviously tried. You know, if you can't be happy going into this year, I don't know what you're looking at. I really don't. This team is going to be so infinitely better in 2021. The Mets are going to win the division. I honestly believe that. And we'll get to what that means actually for Luis Rojas here in a few minutes, because if they ever got off to a horrible start, he may not make it to Memorial Day. But if I have to hear from you if you're a Met fan and you're not happy with what happened. Please explain to me why. Please explain why you were supposed to get everything right away out of the gate. Why you deserved all of that right now. I know about pain. I get it. A lot of fan bases know about pain. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Twitter fight, Twitter fight, Twitter fight, Twitter fight. Oh, boy. Trevor Bauer and Noah Syndergaard. Oh, you gotta love Noah Syndergaard. So here is where we're at with this Twitter fight that's happening as we speak between Noah Syndergaard and Trevor Bauer. The Mets tweeted out a picture of Syndergaard and Gesellman. Two pictures, actually. Noah Syndergaard and Robert Gesellman. And it says nothing but smiles for spring training. And they're both smiling in one picture. And in another, they're both laughing hysterically. So Syndergaard, quote, tweets it. And then he said, I'm sorry I chose another team, but I'll donate to your charities.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Oh, in reference to Bauer, who said that, you know, I never should have had the Met hat autographed up on my website, blah, 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 but I'll donate to your charities. So Syndergaard just letting loose right there. And it's funny. It's funny. And Bauer, of course, couldn't laugh about it. And he writes back, when mistakes are made, you try to make them right. I know you wouldn't know anything about making mistakes, though. I hope rehab is treating you well. It was good to see you back throwing. Oh.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've gone too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
Twitter fight. We've got to get, like, some kind of Twitter fight with two people frantically slapping at one another kind of sounder, I think, Jacob and Brian. No response back from Syndergaard yet on that. I hope it comes. And it's always, you know, what I love lately is you see this a lot, and I'm not picking on him, okay? Because enough people have, you know, Marcus Stroman, I think we would all agree, Marcus Stroman has a chip on his shoulder. And if that helps him be a better pitcher this year and a really good pitcher that he can be, and that he certainly believes he is, then great for him. We got no issues there with Stroman whatsoever. But he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he always, when he's getting into a Twitter fight at the end of it, he always says, but God bless. Have a great day. Like he and I got into it. God bless, though. Have a great day. That was Bauer's version of God bless, have a good day, which is a nicer version of blank you. It was great to see you back out there throwing. I know you wouldn't know anything about making any mistakes. You wouldn't know anything about making any mistakes. Oh.
All right. You want to get nuts? Come on.
Let's get nuts!
Exactly. Oh, my God. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Let us hit Jeff in Manhattan next on 98.7 ESPN. Jeff, you're on with, well, me. How are you?
How are you, me?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm good. I wanted to get your opinion on something. I'm a Jets fan, and okay, somebody who I know who has some understanding of what's going on in the building said something that's not talked about enough is that Gates always tried to put Sam in a Peyton-like offense that you've got to make a lot of audibles on the line. It's complex. You've got to read a lot of the defense. And it is the antithesis of what Sam is good at, which is backyard rollout instinctual ball. So if he stays and he gets a squad that understands that and coaches him to that, will he be better?
It's interesting. I mean, what I don't like about the entire Gase tenure, both here and in Miami, is that so often it felt like it was about Gase's system and not about the players and fitting a system around them to accentuate their strengths. You know, that's what Bill Belichick does. He looks at the talent that he has year to year, and he makes the most of it by putting them in positions to be successful. He doesn't worry about what guys can't do or complain about what guys can't do. He tries to put them in positions to excel at what they can do. And so with that being the case, I felt like Gase always made it more about his system than about the players themselves. So I think there is something to that notion. And if this offense is going to allow Sam to do that, then, you know, all more power to him. I hope that's the case.
Cool.
All right. Good talk, Jeff. See you out there. Yeah, look, Gase was about Gase's system. And football coaches of any sport, truly, have to really look at their talent and figure out how to maximize them, as opposed to trying to take, you know, square pegs and jam them into round holes. Like, I don't know, the triangle offense, for instance. Does that sound familiar? Steve's in Closter, New Jersey. Steve, what's going on?
I am a pissed off Met and Jeff fan.
Steve, let's cover one. Steve, before we get to your pissed offness,
what
is your pizzeria in Closter, New Jersey? Is it Rudy's?
Rudy's.
Thank
Not
you.
As good as Brooklyn, but it's okay.
Hey, Rudy's is pretty good. And when you go into Rudy's next time, you tell my guy Matt I said hello. I used to live in close to
Rudy's. Oh, you know Matt.
Ago.
We know Matt. She says very well.
Matt's a good man.
Very well.
And let's put it this way. When I lived in Closter, I really lived at Rudy's. Anyway.
Yeah, good place. You know, they moved a little bit, but they're good.
Excellent. What's going on?
So, they want instant fixes for the Jets and the Mets. I love what the Mets did this year. They did it slowly, and they'll have money, even though he has tons of money, but he doesn't want to spend it all. If they need somebody at the trade deadline, they'll get him, or maybe next year. We don't know what's going to happen with Alonso. He hit a lot of home runs last year, but he was terrible with guys on third base driving them in.
He had a sophomore slump, and thank God it was only a 60-game season.
Right. So for the Jets, they want to trade 3 or 4 draft picks for Watson. But what happens after that? Then we'll have 8 or 9 picks over the next 3 years, while all the other teams, and we're devoid of talent, will also have the same amount of picks. How are we going to catch, let's say, Miami or Buffalo or all the other teams ahead of us if we don't have these picks to get
well,
the talent?
Well,
right now,
to
we're
note
in control.
Here. Okay. What's important to note here is the cap room. They have a lot of cap room. And after this year, after this year with C.J. Mosley, they could cut him, and it wouldn't be nearly as damaging either, and they'd save some more cap space. So,
but they would be using that cap room to make up for all their draft picks, and eventually that's going to get.
Listen, I don't think that I understand what you're saying. I think you have to look at this from two perspectives. Number one, you are not trading for Deshaun Watson to win this year. Okay, his cap number for the team trading for him is only slightly over $10 million. That's a great thing. Number two, if you're trading for Deshaun Watson, he's 25 years old, beginning the prime of his career, and he's locked up for the next 5 years. So you know what that fixed number is going to be here for the next 5 years. You don't have to go win immediately with Deshaun Watson. If you get him, it's not like you're trading for a 32-year-old quarterback. You're trading for a quarterback who's going to be your guy for the uber long term here. And that's why I can make that rationale of I would trade 3 number ones for Deshaun Watson.
But then again, all the other teams that are better than us are going to have more picks than us. And we're going to be draining.
I understand that, but you still have plenty of picks. And you still have plenty of cap room, and you can build. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that if you trade for Deshaun Watson, it's not going to take a little bit longer It may take a little bit longer, but I think it'll be more than worth the wait.
Well, we disagree on that. I just think that we may get good for a couple of years, but once we do get good, we're going to be reaching them because we're not going to have as much cap as you think. We're not going to have the draft picks. We have we're keeping control of the board right now, the draft board, and with the with all the cap room we have to build our offensive line, defensive line, safeties, even our specialty teams.
Listen, I there is no doubt, and thanks for the call, that the Jets need major, major, major talent. Everywhere. Everywhere. They have to load up as much as they can. If a guy like Watson becomes available, and it becomes him wanting to be a Jet, then you really have to look hard at doing it. Because it's not somebody that you're getting to go win right now. Like, if the Jets were giving up a ton for Matthew Stafford, I would have had a problem with that. And the reason, you know, this whole idea about the Matthew Stafford return being so immense had more to do with the Lions taking the contract of Jared Goff than anything else. That's why they were able to get what they got for Stafford. It wasn't so much that Stafford was worth all of those picks at this point. They did exceptionally well, and they're in a position similar to the Jets. They have to rebuild. The Jets are positioned well. This is what's great about this. What we don't pay enough attention to in all of this, the Jets have so many options available to them. And I'll tell you what, my buddy, the guy that you know I love, besides the fact that he is a flat-out snack, all right? The stunningly handsome Joe Douglas has put the Jets in this great position with cap room, with picks, with options. Now, he has a tough decision to make when it comes to whether or not any of these quarterbacks is worth the number two overall pick. But you have to at least admit that it's nice to have a lot of options and a brighter future if you do the right things with these picks.
It's getting worse.
Trevor Bauer couldn't let it go, even though he wrote like he was letting it go. But he didn't. He started digging into Syndergaard's Instagrams, and he found a discussion between Syndergaard and a fan at some point on Instagram. So he wrote, "Also, Noah Syndergaard, try to treat the fans better. They're what makes our game go. No place for personal insults, especially about someone else's wife." Now, Bauer actually has a point here, okay? Because this, I guess, was last year in reference to the time when Syndergaard was throwing with his shirt off outside in spring training. We all remember that, right? So he quoted White Goodman, from Dodgeball. "Well, we're sweating like grease monkeys out here, and I can't hold on to a new ball." Yep, okay. So a guy named Pablo Breadcrumbs, God, I love social media, writes to him, "DeGrom just winning Cy Youngs. You're trying to be a superhero. You'll probably block me because you're soft." Syndergaard, back to Pablo Breadcrumbs. "What's your problem, dude? Be happy." The B word. Then, let's see here. The Don Baldini wrote to Syndergaard. The Don Baldini. "Put a shirt on, you tool bag. Get through the lineup two times consistently. Play a complete season. Put a shirt on, you tool bag." And see, this is where Syndergaard is just stupid. He writes this back. "Show this to your wife, the Don Baldini. Guarantee she wouldn't want me to put a shirt back on. You might actually get blank because of that, but she'll be thinking of me. Wow. That's Bauer digging up Syndergaard Instagram posts. And then Syndergaard wrote back, keep digging, with a gif. And now another answer. We have more. And then Bauer responding back, we'll see you at the bottom of digging. And then Syndergaard comes back. You bring a drone and your mixtape, and it's a deal. Hashtag take a joke, bro. Oh, yeah, Bauer would have been great in a Mets uniform. Syndergaard, just a, well, he's a dumbass for some of those statements. Especially talking about a guy's wife. That's, come on. It's so dumb and immature. And I guess that must have been last year when he was throwing shirtless. Maybe it was yesterday. I don't even know. But Syndergaard is like, you know, he's still immature in a lot of ways. But the two of them going back and forth on Twitter. Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. Although it's really not. Not when it comes to somebody like Trevor Bauer and somebody like Noah Syndergaard. They're perfect. They would have been separated at least once. At least once. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Richard in Westchester is next on 98.7 ESPN. Richard, how you doing?
Good.
What do you got, bud?
That's all a bunch of baloney, all that crap.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
It is what it is, right?
I like seeing them snipe at each other, but it was pretty dumb of Syndergaard to start talking about a wife. You know, that's dumb.
He showed up with the shirt off and the muscles and everything. Everybody says, what's up with this guy? And as far as the Bauer thing goes, you know, whatever. It doesn't even matter. I'm Yankees and I'm Giants. I think the Giants are on the up and up. I think Daniel Jones is going to end up in the Pro Bowl next year.
What gives you that impression?
If they allow fannies in the seats next year, I'm looking forward to it because I have two nice seats. I got them in 2010, you know, when they got the new building.
Did you break out did you open up the cash for the PSLs?
They were good. I got to tell you, the Maras were good. I had two seats, $5,000 each, and I told them I could probably get you to five. But what about the other one? He says, don't worry about it, sir. Whenever you get it 2 months. I'm serious.
Wow.
So, and I did. I think I sent them $4 once.
Oh, that's nice of you.
No,
that's
I'm just
nice.
Saying. You know what
but
I mean?
Here's the point.
Let's
go back to your original point here, Richard. What has you believing that Daniel Jones is going to be in the Pro Bowl next year?
Because I think he's got the eyes. I think he's straight ahead. And I don't think he's going to get rattled. I think he's a good kid. I think he handles the New York press nice, which is hard. And I just love the kid. Because a lot of people say all these everybody brings up like the best quarterbacks that are going to be around. What are there, 18 quarterbacks now that could be replaced next year?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But not the one in New York. And I like Darnold too. I'm a Giants guy. You know, obviously I have two seats, but I've been a Jets fan.
We've covered that, yeah.
I've been a Jet fan since I was, 10. You know what I mean?
Apparently you're a fraud because you've been a fan of both teams. Thanks for the call. Yeah, you're good. I was trying to figure out, like he was from Westchester, and I was talking earlier about being out in Vegas last week. And So 2 years ago, roughly, right when I got there, the last time I visited, they were making a huge deal on the news about the legalization of marijuana and the couple of dispensaries that had opened in town. And then when I was there this time, I was leaving a golf course, and there are dispensaries everywhere, including the gas station. So I was just wondering, like, I know we've made it legal here in New Jersey, but I haven't seen dispensaries open up yet or anything like that. But apparently, like, he didn't even need that. So let's take a quick poll of our two gentlemen in the studio tonight. That's Jacob Perry and, of course, Ryan Munguia. Gentlemen, was he drunk or was he high? Jacob Perry, you're up first.
We were debating, and I have to go with drunk.
You're going drunk.
I'm going drunk. I don't know how high you could be to be slurring your words the way he was, but I'm definitely going drunk.
Okay, Brian Munguia, you're next. Your thoughts, your impressions, your analysis.
I believe he was drunk. He sounded like my uncle when he had a couple of drinks during Christmas time.
Yeah, my Aunt Billy got that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going high. Because he was very slow and deliberate. Slow and deliberate. That, you know what I like here? Write this down.
He got
I'm
the
an
good
idea
seats.
Guy. And
he
got, these
yeah,
things
he said that.
Yeah, these things, they just come to me off the top of my head. Okay? New segment. Whenever we get a caller like that from now on, were they drunk or high? Okay?
Especially on a Friday.
Exactly. Were they drunk or high? Like when I used to do overnights at, well, there is another radio station in town. When I used to do overnights there, we used to call it when you'd hit about the 4 a.m. hour, you'd refer, you know, you refer to morning drive radio.
Yep.
You'd refer to afternoon drive radio. And then there was drunk drive radio. And that was basically when the drunk callers came out, was probably around 3:30 to 4 a.m. But that guy was so slow and deliberate, it made me think that maybe he was high. And maybe he was just going to say something like, well, maybe like all the animals are free and we're in the cages. Did you ever think about that? I'm voting high.
You're voting high.
Yeah. All right, so we've got new segments, Twitter fight, and then the other one is drunk or high. All right, I like it. These ideas, they're in the air. They come to us, and it's, I tell you, the creative process is always going on.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.